Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I'm a realtor with Real Broker here in Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to provide massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and find out how they've been able to achieve massive success in their business. My hope is that you take a few things away from their experiences to grow your own business. My guest today is a friend and fellow realtor, Kim LaFleur. Kim is a top producer who runs a top real estate team in town. Kim balances being a mom and a wife and doing an amazing production every year while living an hour away. Welcome to the podcast, Kim.
This is special, Jamie. Thanks for having me.
All right. I'm so excited to have you. This is awesome. I can't wait to hear your whole story. And I know everybody in Lafayette loves you and likes you and is excited to hear your backstory. So tell us a little bit about how you got into the real estate business and give us a little backstory.
Well, how does everyone get into real estate business? We just fall into it and then all of a sudden we love it. I had a real good friend who is a mortgage broker in town who, when I was probably mid-20s, tried to talk me into getting into real estate. I decided no one's going to take me seriously. I've never bought or sold real estate at the time. So I kind of just backburned the idea until one day I decided I'm going to do this. So back July 19th, 2013, I left my full-time job. I had enough understanding to know that it would be 6 months without a paycheck. So I was ready to just get involved and get into it. Our family does Christmas in July. So okay. That Saturday to my aunt's house for Christmas in July, my aunt, uncle, and cousins were there from the Woodlands, Texas. And he said, why don't you come back with me? You aren't married. You don't have any kids. So I did. I moved to the Woodlands, Texas. Texas and Louisiana don't have reciprocity. So I had just gotten my Louisiana license, ready to start here.
Right.
And then went to Texas, got my license there, and stayed there for 2 years. So on my way there, this would have been the first week in August, met my now fiance. I stopped in Ville Platte for a alumni softball tournament.
Okay.
I knew two friends were getting engaged. So met Ross there. I was supposed to meet him through three different social circles months and months prior, and we just never did. So I met him that night and literally left the next day for the Woodlands. I wasn't sure if I was ever coming back. 2 years later, I was back in town, back in Acadiana, home sweet home.
Awesome. Awesome. So tell us where you live at too. So you live in Ville Platte, Louisiana.
We are in Ville Platte. Ross is third generation owner of a family company. They're in food manufacturing. So the facility there carries Rue. So the Rue kitchen is in Ville Platte. My parents are in New Iberia. So I grew up with walking to my grandparents' house right next door. And we had the opportunity for my girls to do that. So we bought land next to Ross's parents in Ville Platte. And now we built right next to them. In October 2022, we moved into that house. And now we are right next door to his parents, to my built-in babysitters, to my in-laws. And we are 5 minutes from the Rue kitchen. So my commute in every day is one solid hour each way.
That is crazy. I cannot believe that. Yeah, that's awesome. But yeah, so you're also, we said it on the intro, you're running a real estate team.
Yes.
So I guess tell us a little bit about the team because, you know, you are connected with, to me, one of the most respected and amazing real estate teams. So tell us a little bit about the real estate team.
So Teresa Hamilton and team, I took over ownership last year in 2023. Teresa has been in the business for over 40 years, very well respected. She was not from here. We told a little bit about her story recently to our database, but she came from Colorado and only knew three people in Acadiana. So she had to put food on the table for her family. So she started door knocking. She put little Richard in a wagon and she went around town and knocked on doors and got to know people. And Acadiana really welcomed her with open arms. During her career, there was over $1 billion in real estate that passed through her team under her leadership and her guidance.
Wow.
So she is on the brink of traveling and spending time with her family and retiring. And so to prepare for that, I took over ownership and leadership there to lead the team into the next season of real estate. So that's been real exciting. Combined, everyone on the team, it's about a little over 115 years of experience there. So that's a lot of transactions, a lot of years under our belt.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love the agents that you have on the team too. They're phenomenal.
Are they so good?
Anytime you have a dealing with them, they're amazing.
You know you're going to close the deal. You know they're going to get you to the closing table.
Yeah.
They're so professional. They're so good. The invaluable part of just being on the team is just all being together, being able to sit at that table together and work together during our team meetings or, you know, her group text, things like that, bouncing things off of each other. Never a dull moment.
Tell us a little bit about how you personally deal with your clients and, you know, just kind of how you operate in the space.
So, and I'll say this with a disclaimer that this can change. And this, and Jamie and I, you know, you and I were just briefly visiting about how the schedule for me and what works for me, I got turned upside on his head a couple months ago when I said, I've got to change this. I've got to figure this out.
Right. And you went on a trip, right?
I did.
To kind of get your thoughts together.
I thought I was going to, because now that I was team, I'm still doing my sales and running the team. And I thought I'm going to take this trip. I was very thoughtful on where I wanted to go. My mom said, why don't you just go to our camp? No, it's too close because I'm just going to go to work. I would drive back and come to work. I had to go somewhere where I had to fly and I could not just turn around and come back to work. And it also had to be somewhere where Ross and I would not want to vacation together.
Okay.
So we weren't going to go like to the beach or somewhere fun. I had to go somewhere, literally sit in a hotel room and work the whole time. And I ended up in Greenville, South Carolina.
Okay.
That place, have you ever been?
It's amazing.
It's so clean.
Yeah.
It is so well thought out. So clean. I spent so much time in the hotel room. But when I got up to walk around, didn't even look into the safety of the area or anything like that. It was not far from Charlotte. I drove over to Charlotte to have dinner with a friend one night when I was there. But sitting in that space, you had to completely get out of my element with no distractions from children or work life or responsibilities for wife and family life. There was a quick flight, too. I had a quick flight from Lafayette to the Greenville airport. And then I left on a Sunday. I did open houses on a Sunday. Went straight to the airport, flew out, and then I flew in on Tuesday morning. I think I had a 7 o'clock flight out. So over there, I thought I was going to figure out what can I do better for the team? How can I take us to the next level? What can I do for them? And I realized because with me taking over, a lot of this year, my business this year was down 60% at that time. And it was it the market? Was it me? Was it, you know, what was really going on? Because real estate's always being bought and sold. And I realized in that time, it was me that in the year when the 6 months or 8 months leading up to that, when I was trying to make sure I was keeping the team on tracks, I just fell off from my norm and from reaching out and working the way that I did. So I'm not a huge goal setter.
Right.
But in that moment, I said, if I want this year to look the way I want it to look, there's certain things I'm going to have to do starting today in that hotel room. And I did in that moment to make it through the rest of this year. So I set goals. I write them down. They sit next to me, next to my bathroom sink. So every morning, every night, I'm looking at them and I'm hitting these goals. And so now I'm back on track. Now I am, you know, 11 years in the business. And sometimes you have to flip things upside down to go back to the basics.
Right.
And so what I did, a lot of that, last year, probably about 2 years ago, no, sometime last year, I started working from home on Mondays, all day at home. That's one day where I'm not going to be on the road. So my phone starts ringing at 7:30, and clients have gotten to the point where they're respecting my time on the weekends. If they know it can wait until, you know, to working hours, they'll wait until Monday. But that means that Monday morning, my phone is going to start blowing up. But working from home, I'm sitting in front of my computer and can answer their questions and can do the research. And it's not 2 hours. Most of the time, I'm on the road about 4 hours a day.
Wow.
1 hour getting into Lafayette, 1 hour getting back home, and then in between appointments all day long. I noticed recently, if it really feels like I've been on the road a lot, there's a timer in my car somewhere on there I can figure out. Sometimes it's six and a half hours where I've really been on the road in between appointments all day long. So and I've worked at every parking lot in town. The hotspot on my phone just is constantly on. And that's probably one of the biggest tools in my business. But for me, getting back to working from home on Mondays was huge. Now, it can't be every Monday. I'll come to town for a closing.
Right.
But I have systems set up to where if it's inspections or if it's showings, and it's rare that you have people, who, unless they're out-of-town buyers, who want and have to see a house on a Monday. But we're working Saturdays and Sundays. You know, people are out of work, you know, coming in town, open houses, things like that. So it does give me one day I can do laundry, get the house ready, cook meals, get the family. It really does wonders for my family to work from home on Mondays.
Nice.
So that's where the schedule becomes very important. So that's what part of that Greenville trip was, getting back to my working from home on Mondays. And I've stuck to it and it's made a big difference.
Nice, nice. So tell us a little bit more about what you're doing, like with your schedule too. Because we had both talked about this too, is like sometimes something falls off, right? Like you've got your business together, but you lose control of like your diet and your workout plan.
Yes. We were just talking, Jamie and I were visiting about, if you looked at, and Tara Bienvenu, which is a fantastic coach in town, I went to a seminar with her recently where she gives you the picture of a honeycomb. And each little spot in the honeycomb is your spiritual life, your career, your key relationships, your family, your friends, all those things, physical health, all the things align in a honeycomb, and which ones need more attention. And I devote so 100% of me is work, family in there, and key relationships in right. there. You know, spiritual life, work, and family. So physical health has fallen off. There's zero effort put forward towards physical health. And people say they don't have enough time. Well, you know, you can find time. And for me, if it's not on my schedule or not on my calendar, it doesn't exist. Right. My husband knows the same thing. If he tells me something and we don't put it on the calendar, I'm not going to remember it. So what I started doing, earlier this year, I did a spiritual thing for 90 days where one of the things was daily mass. Well, if I put it on my calendar, it was there and I went. So now I've recently started in the last 2 months Pilates. I like the Pilates. There's so many different Pilates places in Lafayette. So place I go to has classes all throughout the day. I can plug in a class
right
at a time that we're going to schedule it a week or two ahead of time. So if I go at 11 o'clock and a client wants to see a house at 11 or something happens at 11 and I can't go in that moment, I can go at 11:45. I can go at noon. There's so much drive-through eating and bad eating habits and things right. like that from being on the road that I'd owed it to myself to make a spot on my calendar for physical health. And it changes, you know, what I eat when I leave the house in the morning, what I right. think about when you start taking care of your body just a little bit, it overflows into the other habits that you have throughout the day.
Yeah, no, for sure. We joked about this because I'm like, you could tell when I'm busy because I'm gaining a lot of weight.
Yes, yes. Like, we become hermits in our rooms.
Because I'm like, I am just pounding it right now with work and I'm just eating like crazy yes. right now.
And we're not moving our body. I'm sitting yeah. in a car all day long. So can I move my body for 20 minutes somewhere? Sure, I can. Put the shoes in the car. If I'm stopping in the oil center to do something, I can go for a walk. So yeah. Put a little more effort towards that. So that if it needs a spot on my schedule, that's what's important for me. The kids, soccer, right now we're in the middle of soccer and dancing and tennis and all the things.
Cute.
Pick up from school, things like that. I want to be home for all of those.
Right.
But we also have some evening showings now and then. So if I can look ahead of time to say, okay, I'm going to take evening showings or evening appointments on these certain days, I don't feel as though I'm missing out on everything. Like, oh, I can never take evening appointments. Yes, I can if I'm intentional about it. Or no, I can never have a weekend off. Yes, I can if I'm intentional about it. We're taking the girls for a little mini vacation this weekend. I've been very intentional with my schedule, you know, a month leading up to this, knowing that everything else can fit in the other weekends on the schedule. Or if somebody comes in from out of town, it's just we're not available this weekend. And then I have the team who can pick up an overflow onto them when the scheduling just doesn't work out. It's not going to work out all the time. But it's very important and then when I'm at inspections or I'm, you know, somewhere or work in between appointments. So before I met with you today, I had about 20 minutes where I sit in the parking lot in my car and go through emails, go through everything. I take advantage of every minute I have in the day so things don't get dropped or piled up on me. At inspections, I'm working the whole time. And my client knows, like, they can come. And I prefer they're not there following the inspector around. They want to be there. Absolutely. Y'all come. But come at the last 30 minutes and we can all go through everything together. The inspector can do his thing. I can do my thing. At that point, I can take calls. I have my hotspot on my phone. So I'm really not missing a beat.
Right.
Very yeah. rarely in the office because that's what I'm doing, paperwork. And I have an assistant who's in the office full time on the back end who can handle everything for me there. But for me, very rare am I in the office.
Yeah. No, I like that. That's a great recommendation about the home inspection, just having them come 30 minutes at the last 30 minutes and then get the summary, see all the hot spots and points that the inspector wants to hit, but lets you be able to use that hour, 2 hours, whatever it is, to just hammer out work and make phone calls and all those things.
Yes.
So yes. Yeah, that has to help. But yeah, I mean, for me, and I knew that about you even before we met today, was your schedule is just amazing. And that's how you're able to juggle everything that you're able to juggle, which is great.
And in this business, you have to be flexible. You have to know that if you had a schedule that was a closing that was scheduled for 10 a.m., it may get pushed to 2 p.m. I'm real big right. on people don't schedule their closings around me. They don't need me there. I'm there for moral support. I am strictly just a witness in the room. The buyer and seller can sign without me there, but I want to be there and I will make it there. So if they schedule according to the buyer and the seller schedules first, they call me to say, hey, can you make this work? And I always will be able to make it work. Rearrange something to where I can be there. If there's an inspection, I can have somebody go sit in on the inspection. I can go to the closing and I can come back. You know, we're always able to work things out.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So another thing that you do well, which I love, and a lot of people follow this, is you do like just occasional videos on social media.
I do.
So tell us about those videos.
I stumbled upon those. I don't even know where this started or why it started. The key to just Facebook, I'll shoot a video on my phone and then just upload it to Facebook. And I started doing that probably once a week a couple years back. And then I'd fall off for a little while. And then I'd run into people who, we need another video. And I shoot them just in my car. If it's something that comes to mind that I think the people need to know, I shoot it from my car. No editing. I do not go back and listen to it. And I'll say something wrong. If I'm talking about a buyer, but I mean to say seller, I will not stop the video and reshoot the entire thing. It just defeats the whole purpose of just getting the information out there. That has really connected me to just the general consumer and the public that's out there. I make them feel as though, because it's a lot. Real estate, there's a lot of things that happen on the back end, and I can handle all those things for them. But what can they do on the front end to make it easier for them, or make it easier when they're working with their agent, or when they're listing their house, or what, you know? So a lot of times I go and I say, oh, I'll watch this video. I know what I'm supposed to do right here. And the agents, I didn't realize how much I was connecting with the other agents, but there's a lot of communication going on in the DMs and the messengers and inbox and things like that, that pertain to the video that keeps me doing them. That, you know, if I fall off for a while, I'm like, oh, I'm missing people. Let me go do a video. And I'm right there reconnecting with everyone again.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. And realtors are always looking for leadership and stuff like that. Even if they're not on your team, they're looking to grab value from us as top producers. They're trying to grab something from Kim that they can implement into their business. So I love that you're so willing to come on a podcast like this and share what works for you and what doesn't. And hey, I use Darla Lejean and as an example, who was actually our first guest on the podcast. She does a regular live video on her Facebook page, and she doesn't even care like if it makes, you know, like if it's well done or if she makes mistakes or whatever. It's just her platform to speak to her people, and you'd be surprised at how many people watch those videos. And for some reason, video, I think, does a little bit better than like just a picture.
It makes you so much more personal. They can see you're looking at them. They can tell it's not scripted. They can tell that it's not. I might have had the idea of what I wanted to talk about, but other than that, it might be a minute. It might be 6 minutes. I flow with whatever comes to mind and then cut it and move on. But yeah, that's where connecting with people in that way, because the collaborative nature of our industry in general, it can be very competitive. But it can be collaborative if you let it. And that's what brings the abundance mindset. We talked about that. I had done some ninja training a couple different times. And the abundance mindset is huge in ninja training. Knowing that there's business out there for everyone. That if it's meant for me, it's going to come to me. If it's meant for someone else or something's not meant to work out, that's okay too. That's not getting attached to the outcome.
Yeah, that's what I was going to go with it too. As you talked about not being attached to the outcome. And I just love that. You talked about like not forcing it. Tell us a little bit about your mindset on that whole thing of like, I'm not attached to the outcome anymore.
So I think I've done this for 11 years, probably the first 7-8 years of this. I would lose sleep at night. I would stay up. I was really attached to these deals and to these clients. And if something weren't working out, or if the other agent on the other side, I was constantly looking at the other side of this. What were they doing to make this more challenging? What were they doing to where they were, you know, hindering our ability to get to the closing table? And I did very little looking into myself. When I started looking into myself to realize everyone has the same end goal in this. We all want to get to the closing table. The buyer and seller, if they can do this without us or do it better without us, that's where there's a problem. So when I started looking at deals and looking at, as I didn't get attached to the outcome, sometimes I'm going to have a buyer that's going to lose their job, and or I can represent the seller and the buyer may lose their job. They no longer qualify for financing and the deal's not going to fall through. Is that the end of the world? That's a bigger deal for them that they don't have a job. Because the deal didn't close for me and I have to sell this house a second time, I'm not attached to that outcome. So I'm not counting those dollars already. I don't have them already spent somewhere else. It is, we're going to sell it again. I had a buyer that passed away on the way to closing one time, and it was a domino effect deal of 3 homes where I was the representative sellers on house number one. So we did not close house number one, which meant house number two and house number three did not close. Everyone had moved out. We were all closing that same day. I was not attached to that outcome. All day, let's go. And they don't teach you these things in real estate school. It was, and everyone was turning to me. The middle deal was a for sale by owner. And I was able to get in front of everyone to keep everyone together on what do we need to do to move forward? And what do we need to do to make sure either this guy, he was in ICU for a while. He had a medical event on the way to closing. We could wait for him to wake up. And then eventually when he did pass away, we sold the house a second time. So when you look at what they're dealing with on their end, it's a lot worse and a lot more than one closing not happening. You used to get, frustrated maybe with the appraisals or the conditions of an appraisal. Nope, now I'm prepping everyone on the front end. We're not attached to that. We know these things may come up. Very rare do we have some surprises. There's some things that'll happen that we've never run into before, and that's just typical of the real estate nature, the industry, the nature of our industry. But for the most part, not getting attached to that outcome and knowing that it protects my client in that moment too, that I'm not going to get, the ego's not going to get in the way. I had one recently. We very rarely do things fall apart during inspections because I've prepped both sides for what to expect during inspections. But in the event that, I remember I looked at my buyer recently and said, I support you if you walk away on this one. This one is not going to work out how I think it should, and you're going to get a deal that you're not going to be happy with. So we walked away and bought something else the next week. It was, you have to do what's right and not get attached to the outcome of that deal not closing.
Yeah. And we talk about this a little bit on the podcast too, is, we talk about the idea that somebody is, a realtor is operating in the sense of, hey, if this thing doesn't fall through, I can't pay my mortgage or whatever. And they're making it too much about them. But, when you operate in the way that you're operating right now, like it just puts them totally first. And you're saying like, hey, I don't even care if this thing closes, mm-hmm. For me, like if I get a paycheck or not, it doesn't matter. So like, I just love that you're putting in that in the way that you're putting it. It totally values the client, that you're putting them first and their needs first. And if anything were to ever happen, hey, whatever's best for you, let's do that. Mm-hmm. And I even said the other day, like I had a meeting with a client and the guy was like, hey, we like this subdivision, but we may not like the floor plan of the house. I was like, let's build it. Mm-hmm. Let's just go ahead and build that house. And he was looked at me like I was crazy. He was like, you would wait around with me while we built this house. And I'm like, absolutely. If that was not if it was the right house, but it was on the wrong lot, let's go ahead and put that house on the corner lot that you wanted.
Let's figure out how to make this happen.
To make this happen. And like that was, I think when you do that to people, that's why you get so much referrals mm-hmm. from people, because I hear, I've even talked to people who are using you, mm-hmm. like in my path of real estate, I've talked about, oh, we're going to use Kim. Okay, cool. Great. Use her. She's awesome.
And that's where you want, I have a big pillar of my business is agent to agent referral. And that's huge for me. And local agents who I can't deal with this person. I don't know what to do. They kind of get stuck in a place. Give it to me. I can handle it. This is my son. He's not going to listen to me. Let me handle it. Let me do it. I can talk to them the way that, they're not going to respect the way or understand or believe the way that mom talks to them. So agent to agent referral. And as much as important that the clients are for me, other agents are, if not more important. I want my clients important, but whenever there's a multiple offer situation, I want the other agent to look at the 10 offers that are sitting next to them and to look at their seller and say, this one's going to get you to the closing table. Kim's going to do this. I might not be the highest offer. I've won in multiple offer situations a handful of times not being the highest offer, because we know there's all kinds of terms in a contract, and price is not just the only one that's important. And I do the same thing for my clients. If I've had a bad experience with an agent, or an agent really just looks out for themselves and we have multiple offers on the table, I'll look at mine. And then my sellers are always going to turn to me and say, you tell us what to do. You guide us and tell us. And I'll say, look, these offers side by side, exact same offer. You're going to net the same. This agent's going to be a pain in your rear to get there. This agent is going to fight us the entire time. This agent's going to be fair. This agent's going to be fair to their client and to us. And I think you need to go in this direction. And they'll do it. They're going to listen to me. Yeah. So that's what agents forget about, taking care of each other and respecting each other. It's not just one deal. I'm looking beyond that one deal into all the future deals that I need to have with these agents.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that a lot too, because a lot of agents think that they're on the other side of the table, like trying to like win the battle. I'm like, we're all here to get to the closing table. I want my seller to get to the closing table as much as you want your buyer to get to the closing table. And it's like they're coming to war, like war mm-hmm. with us, with swords drawn and everything else. I'm like,
what they realize is they might win that battle, but they've lost the entire war. So you were nasty to an agent during that one transaction. So in the big scheme of things, in the big picture, you think they're ever going to want to work with you again.
Right.
And that's what people forget. They forget that it's not about the one deal that you're in right now.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. Yeah. I don't know why agents get like that. It's weird.
But it is so much. I did a video on this past weekend. It is so much fun. I think the title of the video was something about like what gives an agent butterflies. When I get an offer, I have so many deals right now that are under contract with agents I just love and adore. And it is so easy. It is so smooth. We just know that there's not, we're not going to run into any headaches. And there's sometimes when you open an offer and you're like, oh, no, we'll make it happen. We'll make it work. But it's going to be a struggle bus to get there.
Yeah.
But it is, I'm in a good place right now where majority, if not all, of what I have under contract is, and we get excited working with each other.
Yeah.
We know that everyone's going to going to really work together and fairly to get there, represent our clients well. And we're closing all these deals.
Yeah, absolutely. Even the bad ones.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to get there.
I joke about, like, if something, not attached to the outcome, but I've joked about, like, I will, like, a deal is not dead until it's, like, really dead. Like, I will bring it back to life more than I probably need to. And then at some point, okay, we can't do anything. Let's move on. We're going to make sure it's dead before we just let go of it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So we do have a lot of, like, new agents that are listening, like, around the country and stuff like that. And we have a lot of people who may be struggling right now in a weird market in 2024. So what advice would you give to, like, a new agent who may be listening to this, or an agent who's struggling? What advice would you give to them right now?
I think you have to find what works for you. You're going to get all this information from all these top producers and all these coaches and all these courses that say, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this. If you had a panel right now, the top producers in town, we all do everything so differently. Door knocking was phenomenal for Teresa. She built her career on door knocking. It's not something that I do, but I also know of other agents in town who are very good at it. Cold calling is not my thing. It is a very good tool for some agents who are very good at it. I will always do and have always done open houses. If I'm driving in from Ville Platte to do them, I'm going to do two or three in a day. I'm going to make it worth my while. Mine are an hour and a half long. I don't need them to be longer than that. Because in that time frame, you may get zero people that come through, but I am working the entire time. That is in silence on a Sunday. I have my hotspot with me and have a plan for prospecting while I'm there. So if you look at open houses, if open houses don't work, what does that mean? Define don't work. Because if I have an open house and I don't need 40 people to come through, if I have two or three people that come through and I have genuine good conversation with them, define don't work. I might not have sold that house that day to that person that came to the open house, but if I establish good communication and conversation with someone in the time that they were there, and then I run into them a couple weeks later, another open house, I run into people I've been seeing open houses for years.
Yeah, especially right now.
And we talk about it. We talk about, like, oh, and I have a photographic memory of remembering people, like, where I saw them last, or little tidbits about their story. So we connect when we see each other, you know, every couple weeks or couple months at different houses and different price ranges. But I always ask them, what are you seeing out there? Who are you talking to? What are you noticing about the market? They're learning the market. So I think for agents that are starting out, don't let someone tell you that something doesn't work. Because there's people on my team who they don't like open houses, and that's okay. You don't have to do them. If I did an open house to sell the house I was sitting in to a buyer that walked in that day who didn't have an agent and who never saw that house before, it's two a year.
Yeah,
I do two a year, but I'm still doing open houses at least 3 weekends a month, at least 6 to 8 open houses a month. I'm going to make it use where it's worth. My sellers are not upset that people walk through their house who had not walked through their house before.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That's great advice. And just do something, you know, don't just do nothing.
And they work the whole time. You can sit there bored and do nothing, or you can have a hotspot on your phone. You can have a plan. You can create social media. You can be prospecting. You can work your database. There's a million things you can do in silence for an hour and a half.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I like that mindset of the open house. And hey, even if nobody comes through, I still got all this work done.
Yes.
Like, that's awesome.
It sets up your week start your week well.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, cool. Well, yeah, I guess we're going to go ahead and start wrapping it up there. Is there anything else that you may want to share with people listening? Because we're almost out of time, but I want to maybe just give you one more opportunity just to share something.
Just a tidbit that comes to mind is not getting attached. We talked about that, not getting attached to that outcome. And knowing that if you were made for this business, you get up and you work. You're unemployed every single day. You get up and you go find the work. It's not going to find you. And that's what, even being in this 11 years doing 70 and 80 deals a year, I wake up every day unemployed, and I know that. And I know I can sit at home and just relax and binge Netflix and wait for the phone to ring, or I can go out and find somebody who wants to work with me, whether it's short term or long term. You have to go out and get that business.
Absolutely. I love it. You're amazing. Thank you
Thanks,
so much.
Jamie, this is fun.
Thank you so much for your time. And I know you had a rigid schedule, so I'm glad we were able to get this on your schedule.
You did it. On to the next thing.
This is awesome. So I'm so excited for everybody around the nation to hear your story and how you run your business. And I'm hoping that it's encouraging them to have their own schedule and do what works for them. Show up every day. You have the time. You do have the time to do it.
You have more than you know.
More than you know. Awesome. So thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. Do us a favor and like the podcast. Give us a great rating. We're bringing a ton of value from our amazing area down here in South Louisiana. And if you want an agent like Kim, reach out to Kim. I'm sure she'd love to connect with you and give you a little encouragement. So
I'm here for you.
All right, guys. Thank you guys so much. And I hope that you guys have an amazing day.